It's from the Apostle John, and this is from an especially important chapter. It takes place in the upper room. It's from John chapter 14. On the night before Jesus died, he tells the apostles that his Father's house has many rooms, and he's going to prepare a place for them. He says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." That's John 14, 3 through 4. And then Thomas asked Jesus, "Lord, we do not know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" It's here that Jesus makes a most important statement, which we all know. Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He goes on to say, "If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." That's John 14, verses 6 through 7. Jesus is the perfect reflection of God the Father. Now, we all know that mankind was created to be the reflection of God, made to be in his image and likeness. But our image is tarnished because of what took place in the Garden of Eden. Jesus' reflection of God is perfect, absolutely perfect, without blemish or defect. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Isn't it interesting that the first two words are, "I am"? The very words that the burning bush spoke to Moses in Exodus chapter 3. I referred to that last Sunday. This is when Moses wanted to know the name of the one who was sending him. And God said these words to Moses, "I am who I am." This is what you are to say to the Israelites. "I am has sent me to you." Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. In Greek, it is ego eimi. Very same words. I am. He is the way. He's not one of many ways. The truth is, if anybody says to you that Jesus is one of many ways, then I got to tell you, they don't believe that Jesus is truthful. Famous Anglican author C.S. Lewis, who wrote the Chronicles of Narnia, as well as Mere Christianity, among others, was at one time a stalwart atheist. And then the Lord Jesus Christ touched him and touched his life. And Lewis had this to say about Jesus. He said, "He's either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord." Well, I believe Jesus' words to be absolute truth. And therefore, my friends, he is Lord. There was much more that happened on that night before Jesus was arrested and taken into captivity. Jesus was removing any doubt that the apostles might have had when he told them these words, "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves." Now for 3 years, these 12 men have been following Jesus, learning from him, witnessing miracle after miracle, healings, walking on the water, the miraculous calming of the storm, and so many other things that took place. And Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." John 14, 11 to 14. And when Jesus says, "in my name," and so praying in Jesus' name, means that as we get to know who Jesus is, we get drawn into his life, his love, and his sense of purpose. Then we'll begin to see what needs to be done, what we should be aiming for, and what resources are needed to do it. I know that I'm preaching to the choir now, because 8 years ago, as I mentioned earlier on Pentecost Sunday, without hesitation, you walked into the wilderness, away from a church that left biblical teaching, and then you began writing your own history as St. Andrew's Anglican Church. And for that, I applaud you. I just thank you for your bravery and your willingness to stand on the truth. You saw what needed to be done and did it, bringing pews into this church at midnight from Nashville, Tennessee, and much, much more. I've heard the stories from so many of you, and you continue gathering here week after week. Pandemic or no pandemic, my goodness, the faith that is in this congregation is amazing. And I know where it comes from. It comes from the Holy Spirit, worshiping and honoring the risen Lord Jesus in this place. It's changed just a little since y'all took it over on May of 2013. We got the floors redone. We have done a few things. There's a beautiful cross up here that Kit Carson made. And then, of course, there's Steve Williams and his work that he did in building this altar rail. There's the design committee that had the carpets changed into red. This whole platform was redone by Steve and his people. And then the altar and the reredos and so much more. It's just incredible. Not to mention the beautiful Celtic cross up here that was put here by George and Jeanette and Ron and Terry Macy. Just so many things in this parish, and we are grateful for that. Today's Holy Gospel begins after all I just spoke about. Verses 15 to 21, when Jesus enlightens them more about his relationship with them and with the Father, giving them a new and incredible promise. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. None of us has ever seen the wind. We see the effects of the wind, as a matter of fact. Just a week or so ago, we really saw the effects of the winds. But can you see the wind? You can hear it blowing. You can see the trees sway back and forth. You can see branches fall off. But do you really see the wind? The same is with the Holy Spirit. And ironically, the Hebrew word for wind is the same as for spirit, ruach. Ruach means wind. It means wind or breath. So the Ruach HaKadosh means the Holy Spirit, the holy breath or the holy wind. And when Jesus breathed upon the apostles in John chapter 20, they didn't see his breath because he was not in New York during a cold, cold winter or in a freezer. You don't see those things. But you know they're there. We know the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is in us. We see the works of the Holy Spirit all around us. Remember that these words were spoken on the night that Jesus was betrayed, arrested, and denied three times. And so Jesus gives the apostles promises of encouragement and warnings of what is to come. Now previously, Jesus had told the apostles many times that the Son of Man, that he was going to die and be raised up. But now he was telling them, in spite of his death, that they will never be alone, and that he will not leave leave them as orphans. At the end of this chapter, Jesus assures them that his Holy Spirit is going to be with them. He said, when the Counselor comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify for when you have been with me from the beginning. John 15:26-27. When the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles on that magnificent day of Pentecost, all of their doubts and fears disappeared. These 11 men who were left after the betrayal of Jesus chose a new one called Matthias to restore the 12, and they went out into the world facing death in order to teach the world about their risen Savior. We will celebrate the Feast of Pentecost on May 23rd this year, and I want to encourage you, I want to encourage everyone that day to wear something red that to honor the Holy Spirit. It'll be a beautiful thing. And we as believers and followers of Jesus Christ have the Holy Spirit's presence in our hearts. And we will one day share in Jesus' glorious presence for all eternity. You see, without Jesus in our lives, everyday problems and challenges would appear to be huge, unreachable mountains. Without Jesus in our lives, we would be at the mercy of this cruel and heartless world. When we give our lives to Jesus Christ, we receive the kind of hope that gives strength, and we're empowered to put our daily struggles into his loving hands. How many times have I reminded you about help me, Jesus? And then, of course, thank you, Jesus. Calling upon him and saying, help me, Jesus, is all you need. If you know him and love him, you're never alone. We don't need to feel worried or afraid when we know that we have Almighty God walking with us on our life's journey. And as I said, and as he said, we are never alone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.